Hello, awesome humans, and welcome to today's episode of the Awesome Human Podcast. I'm Natalie, your host, and I'm so grateful you're here. As a quick reminder, we record this podcast with a live virtual audience, so you will hear me respond to questions and comments. If you'd like to join me for Awesome Human Hour Live, I would love it. It's every Wednesday at noon Eastern, and you can sign up by going to happier.com and clicking on Awesome Human Hour. Now, before we dive into today's topic, just take a moment to arrive to this moment right now. This time is for you, and I hope you find today's episode really valuable. So let's dive in and let's talk about the power of emotional fitness. And I'm going to start, and I know I was just reading chat as Debbie was talking, reading some of your Why I'm an Awesome Human shares, which are so wonderful and so inspiring. But I wanted to start, even though I know some of you are probably have heard me share this before. Some of you have read my book. Some of you have been with me for a while, but many of you are new. I want to share just a little bit of my journey, which brought me to a place where I get to talk to you about the power of emotional fitness skills. And I get to travel all over the country and the world. And, you know, as an expert in emotional fitness and leadership, and I think it's really important to share a little bit of what I call my origin story, because for most of my life and most of my career, I not even think of what is emotional fitness, but I lived and worked in a way that didn't acknowledge the fact that I was a human being, that I had feelings, I had emotions, I had emotional, mental, and physical needs. And so I just want to share a little bit about that with you, because the way that I became an expert in emotional fitness was by doing it wrong for most of my life and learning my lesson in a very painful way. So as many of you know, I grew up in the former Soviet Union and I came to the US as a refugee when I was a teenager. And it was such a difficult and overwhelming experience. I was just lost, right? I didn't speak English. Everything was new. I felt like an idiot all the time. And the one thing I had was hard. I was always a really hard worker. I still am. I love working hard. I think it's such a meaningful part of life. I have the greatest respect for hard workers. I was a really hard worker. And so that was the one thing that I had going for me. And so I really threw myself all the way in to this idea, if I just work really, 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 really hard and do meaningful work that matters to me and take care of the people that I really love, my family, my parents, my grandparents, then not only will I not feel lost like I did at the time, but I'll have this incredible life. Like that was the way that I thought that I could get to living this fulfilling and satisfying life. But being a refugee also kind of cemented in me this other idea, and it was that life is a struggle, and life is supposed to be a struggle. As you can imagine, coming to a new country with no money and no language and no anything is a struggle. But I also grew up in a culture and in a family where struggle was like elevated to something that is good. Like if you're going to do anything meaningful in life, you're going to have to struggle. And so I combined those two things, working really, really hard, ignoring myself as a human being, just dedicating all to my work, and the fact that everything is supposed to be a struggle. I combined those two. And for the next 20 years, I built an incredibly successful career in tech and finance. And I started many companies and wrote books and all kinds of things. And I had a beautiful family. You know, my husband Avi and I have been married for 20 years. We met in college when we were kids. We had a daughter who's graduating from high school in a couple of weeks, which I can't believe. And I did so many really meaningful things. I really was doing work that I cared about so much. And obviously we moved out of the projects and I learned English and I was building this really meaningful life, but all of it came with this immense amount of inner struggle because I never acknowledged my humanness, the fact that I was a human being, the fact that I needed basic things like sleep or rest or to do something that I enjoyed or to do something that was fueling to me. But I also treated myself with this kind of a certain degree of neglect and toxicity. Like my inner expectations of myself, I never fulfilled them. Whatever I achieved, which from the outside seemed, wow, really impressive, it was never enough. For my inner voice in my head, that was never enough. It was always not good enough, not far enough, not achieving enough, not doing enough. And so I struggled. I struggled a lot. My inner experience of all the success and achievement and meaningful work that was positively impacting the lives of other people, my inner experience was struggle, but I thought I was doing it the right way. And, you know, I said this on stage yesterday, I felt like I was exhausted, obviously, all the time, like physically exhausted, mentally exhausted. And I knew I was exhausted, but it was almost like my exhaustion was my badge of honor. Can anyone relate? Like, I was so exhausted, like not just physically, but from the struggle, but it was like proof to me that I was doing it right. You know what I mean? Like, I was so exhausted and I was so empty of any kind of nourishment as a human being, but I wore it as a badge of honor. I was like, yeah, look how much I've achieved. And I'm taking care of my daughter and my family and I'm exhausted. Like, that's my proof. And my ego was really, really happy. And I thought eventually I would do enough. I would work hard enough that somehow I would get to this place where I could just enjoy my achievements, where I could actually do something for myself, where I could exhale. And instead, as many of you know, several years ago, I suffered a really debilitating burnout. And we're going to talk about burnout because, you know, burnout is a different experience for many of us. And I saw in comments that some of you are sharing that you're feeling burnt out, and I'm so grateful you're here. Burnout takes many forms and it's a pretty complex experience. I just want to tell you what it was like for me. When I say I burnt out, I mean that the ignition in me went out. It's like someone turned off the lights. I couldn't function. I couldn't be a mom. I mean, I was like this ghost. I sort of went through the motions, but I wasn't really there. I couldn't function. By the way, I was a CEO and founder of a company called Happier. Okay. And I couldn't function. I couldn't lead the team. I couldn't make decisions. And it was a really, really scary time. But if I was honest with myself, I'd been burning out daily for many years before. And daily burnout, and I'm going to grab it because as an author, you never want to miss a chance to hug your book. Daily burnout is something that I think is so important to talk about. It's one of the reasons I wrote my new book, which I know many of you have, especially if you're doing the challenge, The Awesome Human Project. But if I'm honest with myself, I was experiencing daily burnout for many, many years before. And I want to tell you some of what that entailed for me, because I want you to start becoming more aware of your emotional, mental, and physical inner experience of life. I want you to become more aware, and this is really core to practicing emotional fitness, is that awareness. I want you to start becoming more aware of maybe some of these symptoms that you might be experiencing so that it doesn't have to get to that dark, overwhelming place where it got to for me, and then it took me years to recover. So some of the symptoms of daily burnout that I experience and that are also really common to burnout. The first and probably the foremost, and this is actually a pretty common definition of burnout, is constantly feeling like what is on your plate physically, emotionally, mentally is more than you have the capacity to handle. And I remember feeling like this every single day. And it's not about being busy. We're all busy. You know, we have this epidemic of busyness. We all have really long to-do lists. It's more than that. It's feeling that your life, what is on your plate and all the things, I don't just mean like your to-dos, but all the things, including family stuff and, you know, relationships and work stuff, is more than you have the capacity to handle. And I wonder if any of you feel this way. I remember feeling like this all the time. And so what ended up happening is I just ran faster. Like, I was always trying to do the things, but I never felt like I had enough capacity, not just time. I don't mean time. I mean inner being, emotional energy, mental energy to actually do them. That's a really, really common symptom of burnout. The other thing that I remember experiencing on a daily basis, which again, I was not aware of it at the time, but I started to resent work that I loved. If you have been with me even for a bit or even for the last 20 minutes, I hope it's obvious to you that this work that I do isn't just a job for me, but it's something that's really meaningful to me. I really love it. And I did, but I started to resent it. And it's actually really, really common for people who care about their jobs and who love their jobs to experience that kind of burnout and resentment, because when we give our all to our work and ignore other parts of our humanness, as I was doing, the part of me that was creative, the part of me that would be with my family and friends, the part of me that needed alone time, when we don't honor our humanness and just give all to our work, it's one of the common causes of burnout among people who are very passionate about their jobs. And one of the symptoms, one of the things that happens is that you begin to resent this work that you actually love. And the reason that you begin to resent it is because it's creating this inner conflict in you. You want to honor other parts of your life that are meaningful to you. You want to honor other parts of yourself, of your humanness, but you're not, because you're so focused on this one thing, your work, and that creates resentment and that creates conflict. And I was doing some research actually on burnout among people who love their work, who are really passionate about their work, or people who are in mission-driven jobs like caretaking careers, like nurses or teachers or doctors or other kind of caretakers. And I found something really interesting that I want to share with you about burnout among people who really love their work, who really care. It's so actually, I love that we can use emoji in chat. I would just love to know actually how many of you here, you can raise your hand, you can do use one of the emojis and you can put it in chat. How many of you would say that you really love your work? You're really passionate about your work. I just want to know. Yeah, emoji is great. Raising hands is great. Just yeah, chat is great. It just gives me, yeah, this way we just get to connect. Thank you. So many, lots. Okay, lots of us here. So something really interesting I found in reading a lot of this research. Now, loving your work and being passionate about your job actually increases your risk of burnout. And we can understand why, right? I mean, that's one of the things that happened to me. It's not the only cause of burnout, and that's important. And that's why I want to dive into other things. But it's a really common cause of burnout because of what I just shared. You overfocus all your energy and all your time on your work, and you ignore other parts of yourself, of your humanness that are meaningful to you. And eventually you burn out, you wilt, because you're not fueling yourself as a human. Here's the interesting thing I found in my research. Not all people who are passionate about their work burn out. And the difference is what researchers have found, the difference is in how you engage with your work. So to keep this short, because I want to dive into kind of three core things I want to share with you about emotional fitness. They use the example of two nurses. And both nurses work they have the same job. They're in the same hospital. They've been there for a similar amount of time. One of them, they both really love their work, and one of them burnt out and the other one didn't. And the difference they found is the nurse who burnt out, she would talk about how work was all she would do. And then when she went home, she would just think about work and she felt guilty for not thinking about her patients. And at the same time, she wrote about how she felt really she felt that conflict that I talked about, like resentful that she's not doing other things. What researchers call that is inflexible engagement. So she just was with her work. She burnt out. And the other nurse worked the same amount of hours, had been there for a similar amount of time, loved what she did. But she talked about how when she got home, she made it a point to do something that brought her some joy, to maybe spend time with a friend or read a book. She had what researchers called flexible engagement. And I'm spending time on this because I think it is such an important part of this conversation about burnout and emotional fitness, is to recognize that it doesn't matter how much you might love your work or your craft, it's really important to honor your whole humanness. All the parts of you that need nourishment need to be nurtured if you want to avoid burning out. So again, that was a symptom of my daily burnout, is I just felt resentful even though I loved my work. And the other thing that I experienced and that I think about in retrospect was I started to withdraw from all social interactions. Like, I speak for a living. I love to speak. Excuse me. Even though I'm a total introvert, I love people, right? Introvert and extrovert is not about whether you love people. I love people. I love what I do. But as an introvert, I just need a lot of alone time to refuel. But even though I loved people always, I started to withdraw. Like in team meetings, I would stop talking. I wouldn't say anything. I didn't see my friends. And that's another really common symptom of burning out, because when you're so malnourished emotionally, mentally, physically, your brain starts to think you are in danger, and it starts to just pull all resources, and connecting with others, even though it's very fueling, it takes energy. So I'm sharing these because I want you to start practicing awareness, which is one of really core foundations of building emotional fitness. And I want to give you a practice. You know my jam, you guys. I'm always going to give you really tangible little practices because I want to increase your awareness, but I want to give you tools to get there. So here's a practice that I wish I had practiced before my overwhelming burnout. I think it would have really helped. So I call this the check-in. It's very, very simple. By design, every single practice I share with you in this challenge, in Awesome Human Hour, in my work, in my book, by design, they're very simple. Because when we do the little practices, that's where we get the difference. So here's your practice to just improve your inner self-awareness of how you're feeling so that you don't have to get to that overwhelming place. I call it the check-in. It's very simple. I recommend that you do this in the morning. You can do this at any time of the day. I love doing this in the morning. Take a moment, take a pause. For many of us, a pause is already progress, just a pause. And check in with yourself, just like you do with colleagues, with people you love. You know how we ask other people, hi, how are you doing? How often do you ask yourself this question? So I want you to start asking yourself this question. So ask yourself, how am I feeling? How am I today? And don't judge your answers. There are no right answers. But what I'd love for you to do is to be specific in your answers. So, you know, just saying, oh, I'm really stressed out. It's a little general, you know, kind of like, well, I don't know. Your brain's like, oh, stressed out. So dig a little deeper, give it a little more air and think about like, what is it? What kind of stress? Is it overwhelmed because you have too much going on? Are you feeling really depleted? So I was doing it this morning. I do the check-in all the time. It's intuitive for me now. I do it a bunch, but when I did it this morning, what came up when I said, how am I doing? My first answer was like, oof, like I didn't even have a word for it. And that's okay. You know, a lot of people, when I share this live in workshops or talks, people like yesterday at Work Human, someone asked me like, I'm not sure I like can name my emotions. That's okay. This is a skill. This is a skill we're not taught, unfortunately, early on. So my first answer was like, okay. And then I was like, okay, well, how am I really feeling? And I finally got to the answer that, wow, I'm really depleted. Like I'm really depleted emotionally, mentally, physically. And the power of checking in with yourself is in that awareness. I'm not asking you to fix yourself right away, to improve, none of that. Awareness is so powerful, and it's at the core of honoring our humanness and improving our emotional fitness is to become aware, okay? Just aware. And so that's the check-in, right? One other suggestion I have for you is put this as a little daily reminder. Or, you know, you can, if my daughter Mia, she uses reminders on her phone. I use my calendar for things like this. Maybe like in the morning, make a little reminder that pops up and just says, how are you feeling? And just use that as your morning. I see in chat, Julia is talking about that she had micro tweaks as a little post-it on her fridge to remind her to do these things to check in. That's like, I love that. It's like a little nudge. We need nudges in our environment to remind us to practice. So set a little reminder on your phone or in your, you know, reminders app or a calendar, whatever, just so it pops up at a certain time. Again, I suggest in the morning and asks, how are you feeling? And use it to practice checking in because awareness is where we begin. You know, I learned three really powerful lessons that I want to share with you. And I've already touched on a bunch of them as I worked and did a lot of research and did a lot of inner work to recover from my burnout. And the first lesson is really foundational. And the first lesson is that challenge in life, well, it's constant, isn't it? I mean, life is life is hard. You've seen me share on social, and I think I've written emails about this, you know, being human is hard. Life is full of challenges. It's how it is. And it's never going to change. Like, life is challenging. But there's a big difference between external challenges and struggling internally through them. And, you know, there's this like, you know, popular saying like, yeah, the struggle is real, man. Well, I'm calling official bullshit on that, because challenge is real in life, but struggle is optional. And the way that we reduce our inner struggle, which is our inner experience of whatever challenges we're going through in life, whether it's big challenges, daily challenges, the way that we reduce struggle is by creating a more supportive relationship with ourselves, like checking in with ourselves, honoring our needs, honoring our humanity, by creating a more supportive relationship with ourselves, our thoughts, our emotions, and other people. And that's actually how I define emotional fitness. You know, it's a term that I have used a lot, and I want to define it for you, which is, so that's the first lesson I learned, because, and I'm going to get into emotional fitness specifics in a moment, but I think it's a really, really important difference and distinction to start making in your mind. It was really, really powerful for me, is to recognize that while there's always going to be challenges in life, and sometimes they're really overwhelming, I have choices when it comes to my inner experience, and I can struggle less. And that's a huge recognition. That's a huge choice to make. But I want you to recognize that you're going to have to make it. And what I mean by that is just being aware that you could do these things to help yourself struggle less isn't enough. You have to decide that it's important to you. And my burnout decided it for me. And the reason I do this work and the reason I speak and do all these things with you guys is I want to help you make that choice before you get to that really dark place. I want to be the interruption in your life that encourages, inspires, and shows you the way for how to make the choice to struggle less. So the second lesson that I learned is that I am in charge of my emotional fitness. And this is part of making this choice. And so again, my definition of emotional fitness is it's a skill of creating a more supportive relationship with yourself, your thoughts, your emotions, and other people. And if you think about it, think of like physical fitness, right? I mean, I'm sure many of you here are fans of improving your physical fitness. Maybe you run, maybe you dance, maybe you lift weights, whatever. So we know that if you want to improve your physical fitness, what do? Well, I think to improve your physical fitness, you probably want to get outside more. You want to eat healthier, right? You want to lift some weights, get some aerobic exercise in. And when you do those things, you improve your, what do you improve? You improve your endurance. You improve your ability to lift heavier weights or run faster, right? So I want you to think of emotional fitness as a similar thing, but what you are improving is your inner resilience. And I'm going to define resilience for you because I hate the definition of resilience, which I think is very common. I used to hate the word resilience because I feel like we talk about resilience as being tough, you know, like nothing happens to me, or, you know, the ability to bounce back after a challenge. I think as human beings, we're capable of so much more. So here is my favorite definition of resilience. Resilience is your ability to positively adapt amidst adversity. Resilience is your ability to positively adapt amidst adversity. So when you improve your emotional fitness, when you create a more supportive relationship with yourself, when you learn how to honor all the different emotions that you feel, when you learn how to get your brain to be your ally and helper instead of causing you unnecessary stress and anxiety with its negativity bias and fear of uncertainty, when you do that, you improve your resilience. You improve your ability to get through challenges without deep struggle. You improve your ability to get through challenges, not just survive through them, but to actually grow and thrive through them. And that's what emotional fitness is all about. And you know, I gave this definition. I gave a talk to some IT folks at Dell yesterday morning, and I was thinking of an example that would really resonate you know, a bunch of techies, and I spent 20 years in tech, so my kind of crowd. I was thinking about what is a good example to give them, and I was actually talking to my dad about this. My dad is my, you know, chief advisor in creating concepts. He's a brilliant scientist and has been in the world of creativity and innovation for 40 years. So I love to brainstorm with him. So we were talking about it this weekend and came up with a really good example that I want to give you. So you know how we all have computers, right? So your computer has a processor. You know how sometimes your computer overheats? Anyone have, like, I'm actually touching my computer right now and my computer is kind of warm. Okay. So you know how sometimes our computers overheat? Do you know why your computer overheats? Because the processor has too many tasks. It has to handle too many things and it can't keep up. So the computer overheats. Think about when I was talking about burnout. Think of some of the symptoms I talked about. Feeling like there's too much. You don't have the capacity. You don't have the processing capacity to handle all the different things going on. Well, what have we done technologically? Our computers have gotten better and better at cooling the processor. So we have really sophisticated, all of your computers have really sophisticated cooling systems. They have all kinds of fancy names like a heat sink. I was geeking out on this, you guys. So your computer has this processor and it handles all the different tasks. And when it starts to overheat, it has all these cooling mechanisms that help to cool it down. I love this example as another way to think about emotional fitness. It's not about, okay, don't do work that you care about, you know, run away from your life, go meditate in Nepal for 2 years. It's not about opting out of doing things that are meaningful to you. It's about developing our own cooling systems. And that's ultimately what emotional fitness is about, because, you know, people have asked me, you know, I went through this burnout. I learned these skills. I teach these skills. Like, people ask me, you know, so do you work less now or have you changed your life? You know, that brings me to lesson number three. What I discovered was not burning out or avoiding being stuck in daily burnout and doing work that I care about and living in a way that doesn't constantly require me to struggle. I didn't actually make any dramatic life changes. I still run the same company. I'm with my family, I still have the mortgage on the house and all the responsibilities. And by many measures, to be really honest with you, I actually work much harder than I used to. But what changed, so not dramatic changes, you know what changed? What changed was my emotional fitness, because now I have this toolkit of these practices, of these mindset shifts. I have the cooling system for my processor. And so when I have a really intense couple of days, like I had this week, and I feel really, really depleted and my processor is overheating or burning out, I have the awareness and I have the tools. So today, this is the only thing I'm doing. And after Awesome Human Hour, that's it. I'm done. I'm offline, because my processor needs to cool down so that I don't burn out. My resilience will be better because I am here to support myself. And that's the power of making these small shifts and practicing these small steps, these small, tangible little practices to improve your emotional fitness. So these are the three lessons that I really want you to take away. First, challenge is constant, but struggle is optional. You do have the choice and the ability, no matter what's going on, no matter how challenging your day or your life is, to struggle less. The way that you struggle less, lesson number two, is by improving your emotional fitness, which is always within your control and always something you can improve, because it's a skill. And like any skill, you improve it by doing. And when you improve your emotional fitness, you create a more supportive relationship with yourself, your thoughts, your emotions, and other people. And three, that it is the small shifts in how you treat yourself and how you respond to your emotions and how you respond to inner challenges, how you honor yourself. It's the small shifts that make a huge difference when it comes to not just surviving through challenges, but thriving. It's the small things. So those are the three huge lessons that I learned that I'm really excited to share with you. And for those of you who are part of our 5-week emotional fitness challenge, and for everyone else here, you know that in my book, The Awesome Human Project, and in the challenge and in my work, I teach and I offer you these five core emotional fitness skills. Now, we're not going to dive into each one deeply because that's what the challenge is all about. And we're going to, in the challenge and in my book, I go through each skill. You have a week for each skill and there's practices. I do want to mention them. And then I want to give you an opportunity to ask questions. And I know some of you already have in chat, but I definitely want to leave time to ask questions in this kind of mini masterclass on emotional fitness. And you can ask questions about any of the specific skills or anything I've talked about. And the best thing to do, and you can start doing this now, is to put your question into the Q&A. And that way it's easy to see it. So I want to just give you like a quick highlight of these five core emotional fitness skills, which I learned on my journey, which are now part of what we call the Happier Method, which are core, the 5-week emotional fitness challenge in the Awesome Human Project, my book, and the challenge many of you are a part of. Here they are. The first skill is acceptance. And this is our focus for this week, if you're in the challenge. And as I tell you in the challenge and I tell you in the book, acceptance is the hardest emotional fitness skill to manage, to master. It was the hardest for me. It's the hardest to practice. And I want to be really open about that and honest with you, but it's also the most powerful skill because what acceptance is all about, and this is my definition, acceptance is a skill of seeing the situation ahead of you with clarity instead of judgment. Of acknowledging your emotions with clarity instead of judgment, and then using that as your starting point to decide how to move forward in a way that reduces struggle for yourself and everyone else involved. So I'm gonna break this down a little bit. Ultimately, if I had to like my shortest shorthand for acceptance, it's a skill to get us out of the valley of struggle. So in the book, I give you a drawing of this. I actually drew this for myself when I kind of had this moment of recognition that I was keeping myself in the valley of struggle. So here's my definition. The valley of struggle is the distance between how something is and how your brain has decided it should be. And we put ourselves in the valley of struggle all the time. Now, remember, I told you life is challenging. I'm not telling you that everything in life is, you know, perfect, not at all, but we have the control and we put ourselves in the valley of struggle. So I'm going to give you a really simple example of how I put myself in the valley of struggle. I share this in the book. I love to share this example because many people relate. It has to do with the weather. I tell you about this in my weekly video for the challenge this week. So I live outside of Boston, as many of you know, and Boston winters suck. They're horrible. Horrible, no good, very bad experience. Very cold, very horrible. No, it's just bad. And I take a 5-mile walk every day. That's kind of one of my self-care practices. And in the winter, I just like survive. And then when it gets to spring, April or May, I get really excited because sunshine, right? It should be warm outside. And very often, yeah, Fabiana, right? Canadians, whew, we feel each other. It just sucks. So there's many times where it's April or May, and I come outside for my morning walk. Oh, and it's chilly and it's not sunny. And you know what my brain says? Immediately, oh my God, this is not how it should be. It should not be cold in May. It should not be cold in April. It should be sunny. Boom, I am immediately in the valley of struggle. The weather, something I cannot control, is not how my brain has decided it should be. And now I'm in struggle. Now I'm frustrated. I'm annoyed. You know, you guys, what I do? I look at like historical temperature averages. Seriously, that's what I do. Like it's been a really, it's now beautiful outside. But the first week of May was chilly. You know what I did every single day? I looked at historical temperature averages. And why did I do that? To stay in the valley of struggle, because I'd be showing it to my husband. I'd be like, look, it's normally much warmer in May. How does that help me? It doesn't. We put ourselves in the valley of struggle a lot. Whenever you think, I am not how I should be, this is not how it should be, this person is not how it should be, boom, you're in the valley of struggle. And acceptance is a powerful way to help you out of it. The two steps of acceptance, and this is the core practice for your first week of the challenge, and I talk about this in the book, is to acknowledge the situation and your feelings with clarity. And clarity is all about the facts. Clarity is all about removing those stories that your brain is telling you about how something should be. So the clarity is, it's chilly and I'm annoyed. That's clarity. Okay. So the second step is to say, given that it's chilly and given that I'm annoyed, what's one thing I could do to move forward with less struggle? You know, what's one thing I could do to move forward with less struggle when it's chilly in May is go put on a better jacket and a scarf. So instead of fighting with reality, when we practice acceptance, we meet reality as it is. We meet the moment as it is. We meet ourselves as we are. And there's so much power to that. I used to think acceptance was like a bunch of woo-woo, you know, like, oh, let life happen as it does. Like, I used to hear the word and I used to hate it. I was so ignorant. Acceptance is not about being powerless. Acceptance is puts you in the control seat of your life. Because while we cannot control things that happen externally, acceptance gives us the power to focus our precious and limited attention and energy on things we can control, to reduce struggle for ourselves and others, to help us thrive and not just survive, and to not waste energy on a bunch of stuff we can't control, like the weather, Natalie. So this is my TED Talk on acceptance. It's the first emotional fitness skill. It's the first one in the book. Yeah, you can totally laugh at me. I try to laugh at myself. And that's one thing I tell you in the book a lot. We have to have a little humor when we recognize these things about ourselves. So acceptance, yeah, Karen, it's not about resignation. It's the opposite. It's about courageously embracing life as it is. And then asking yourself, given this is how it is and given how I feel, what's one thing I could do to move forward? And the could is full of possibility. It's full of agency. The should, it's just you're behind. It limits us. It deflates us. So acceptance is so, so powerful. The second skill is gratitude. So for those of you in the challenge, you're going to do it next week. And it's the second skill in the challenge in the book. And gratitude is much easier. Much easier to practice than acceptance. And we all know what it is. Gratitude is a skill of focusing your attention on the small positive moments in your day, even when life is challenging, and being generous with your expressing your appreciation for others. So I think you all probably know what gratitude is. The kicker is, the key is to make it a daily practice. Because just sometimes practicing gratitude or whenever you feel like it, that doesn't give you the benefit. And so the practice that I share with you in the challenge, you'll learn it next week, and it's in the book, but I'm going to give you a quick preview for those of you who may not be doing the challenge. I think it's so essential to begin your day with gratitude. You could even couple it with your check-in. So after you check in with yourself, you could do a gratitude practice. And I teach this practice a lot. I call it your morning gratitude lens. Very easy. Take a pause. Again, maybe it's right after your check-in, definitely before you dive into, you know, the phone thing, the iPad thing, the news thing, the day stuff. Take a moment and think of three specific things you are grateful for. And the more specific, the better. The mistake we make with gratitude is we're very general. You know, I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for my family. Those are wonderful things. To your brain, they sound like very general. Why are you grateful for your family today? Why are you grateful for your health today? So when you practice gratitude, the most important thing is to be specific. So that's a bonus gratitude practice. And again, we'll be diving more into gratitude next week if you're doing the challenge. The third skill is self-care. So acceptance, gratitude, five core emotional fitness skills. Acceptance, gratitude. The third skill is self-care. And so many of my awesome human hours are about self-care. I think it might be the longest skill chapter in the book. Self-care is such a essential and yet I think misinterpreted thing. I used to think self-care was for two kinds of people, lazy people. I was not lazy. Remember? Exhaustion on my sleep. I was busy, Natalie. I was accomplishing important things. I was tired and I wasn't lazy. And the other people I thought self-care was for people who have earned it, you know? And I feel like this is what we're sold with our culture. Like self-care is a gift you get after you finish your to-do list, after you'd finish taking care of everyone else. Again, I just have to call bullshit on this because self-care is not a luxury. It is not a gift. It is not something you earn. Self-care is a skill of fueling your emotional, mental, and physical energy. Say it with me. Self-care is a skill of fueling your emotional, mental, and physical energy. You are a human being. And as a human being, you need energy to do your job of being human. And that's what self-care does. So self-care is not about, okay, I finished my work. I finished my to-do list. I've taken care of everyone else. Oh my God, now I'm going to go lie down on the couch. That is not self-care. That is being exhausted. Can we just call things what they're called? That is being tired. Self-care is when you actively do things that fuel your emotional, mental, and physical energy. So for me, some of my favorite things, I just want to share them. It's about having alone time. It's about having quiet time. It's about having creative time. It's about having food that's nourishing. It's about getting enough sleep, which is really challenging for me, but I'm working on it. Self-care is about listening to things that fuel me and not listening to things that irritate my soul. Self-care for me is about reading things that fuel me and not reading things that irritate my soul. One of the things that I've done in my life that I believe has had a tremendous positive impact on my mental health and emotional fitness is after I went through my burnout, I cut down my news intake by about 97%. I read the news once a day. I like to kind of know what's going on, but before I click on any article, I ask myself, do I actually want to read this? When I read this, is it going to fuel me in some way to make me a better mother, leader, speaker, human being? And if it's no, it's just my brain who wants to read some dramatic negative news, which our media knows we love, I don't do it. So self-care is about reading things that fuel me and not reading things that irritate my soul. Self-care is about fueling your energy. And it's also about doing fewer things that drain your energy. And obviously we don't have time for this, but a huge part of what I write about in the book about self-care is learning how to say no and setting boundaries. And as many of you know, Awesome Human Hour is moving from being a weekly show to a monthly show. We moved there in June. And I shared a lot about this last week. And I wrote a big email to all of you guys this week about it. It was a really big decision. It was really hard for me to make that decision because I love being in service of you all. I love being your best self hour. I love helping you struggle less and thrive more, but it was burning me out to do this weekly. I've done it weekly for 2 years to help all of us through the pandemic. And with I had to recognize that it was burning me out. So I had to say no to something that I love. I love doing this with you. I love this community, but I had to say no because I had to honor myself as a human because I had to honor my bigger why, which is all about helping people struggle less and thrive more. And so self-care is also about learning how to say no. Okay, so self-care will be a great, it's the third week. It's the third week in the book. It is the longest skills chapter. Fourth skill is intentional kindness, which is a skill of doing kind things for others without expecting anything in return. And the one thing I just want to say about kindness is as human beings, we are not meant to be here alone. We cannot get through life with any kind of meaning or joy if we're not feeling connected. Doesn't mean, by the way, that I think we all need alone time, but being isolated is a different thing. So the reason that kindness is so important to practice daily as a skill is I cannot think of any better way to create small moments or big moments of meaningful human connection. And so I'm really, really excited for all of you who are in the challenge and for all of you who are, you know, reading the book to dive in and actually make kindness a daily priority. It doesn't take a lot. It's not some huge effort, and it's all about doing something kind for another person without expecting anything in return. And the only goal being that you want to be kind, you want to create that moment of connection. And the fifth emotional fitness skill is the bigger why. And the bigger why is a skill of connecting to your sense of purpose and meaning in life by really thinking about how are things that you're doing, things on your to-do list, your work tasks, the stuff you're doing in your daily life, how does it help others? How does it contribute to someone other than you? How does it help you reach a meaningful, longer-term goal? That is where we as human beings derive our sense of meaning. We cannot thrive in life without feeling a sense of purpose. And so to me, it's such an important skill to practice because often we think of our sense of meaning as being somewhere out there, you know, like, oh, it's over there and I have to go find it. Your sense of meaning is not somewhere out there. Your sense of meaning is right here. It's on your to-do list. And so the one thing I just want to like leave the skill with a little practice, I call it a to-do list makeover. Look at your to-do list, do this once a day. pick a couple to-dos and ask yourself, who does this help? Who does it help? And answer the question, your family, your team member, your colleague, your organization, your community. And think about how it helps. And when you connect to that sense of purpose, this to-do, it doesn't go away. It's still there. You still got to do it. But it gives you meaning. It fuels your motivation. It actually helps to better manage your stress. Acceptance, gratitude, intentional kindness, self-care, the bigger why. 5 core emotional fitness skills. A chapter on each is in the book as part of our emotional fitness challenge. This week is acceptance, when we're going through all of them. And I'm so grateful that I wanted to get through all the skills. And I've tried to address some of the things I've seen in chat as I've talked. Each of these could be, you know, months and months of these kind of conversations. But I want to just, as kind of a wrap of this masterclass in emotional fitness, just send you off with, I want to send you off with hope. I asked my audience to do this yesterday. I'm going to ask you to do this right now, even though I can't see you. All right. So play along with me and we'll feel each other. So I just want you to just take a moment right now and close your eyes. Seriously, stop looking at me. Just close your eyes. And if you don't feel like closing your eyes, just look down. And I want you to just for a moment to feel like, connect to that feeling. What would it feel like to you to not have to be feeling like you're always catching up, that you're always out of breath? What would it feel like to like feel like you're thriving a little bit more, that you're living with a capital L, that you have the energy to do all the things you want to do? What would that feel like? And the thing I want to tell you, you can open your eyes now for those of you who played along with me, that feeling, it's possible. And this isn't empty promises. That feeling is possible. This isn't empty hope. I know this because I went from being in the scariest, darkest, furthest away place from that feeling to experiencing it. And I've also now taught it to so many people. That feeling is possible, but you know, I need you to take the steps. I need you to practice. To get to that feeling, it is absolutely not empty hope. It is possible, but I need you to take the step. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to make a commitment to yourself. I want you to make a commitment. Take one thing that I shared. Maybe it's the check-in practice. Maybe it's the gratitude practice. Maybe it's something else. Take one thing and make a commitment to yourself to make it a daily practice. Make a commitment to yourself to make your humanness, your emotional fitness, your priority. And what I want you to know is you're not just making this commitment to yourself. When you make that commitment, you're making it to every single person you care about in your life. You're making it to the work that you care about. Because as you hear me say all the time, you cannot give what you don't have. So when you make the commitment to support yourself, to honor your humanness, to fuel your emotional fitness, to practice these skills, you make that commitment to everyone else because you have so much to give. And this is personal for me. This is personal because I live this every day. If you follow me on social media, and if you don't, we should connect. I share this on Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook, and I'm Natalie Kogan on all the places. I had this feeling yesterday when I was doing my talk of how much more I can give to people like you, to awesome humans like you, because I support myself. I have so much more to give. So I want you to walk away with that commitment and to recognize that you've just made a commitment, not just to you, but to every single person you impact, to every single experience, to the work that you care about. That's what we do when we make that commitment to ourselves. I'm so grateful for all of you sticking around. I know it's like middle of the week, and thank you for being here. Thank you everyone for making this commitment to be here. That's already a huge step. I say this to my audiences a lot. I said it yesterday at Work Human. I wouldn't come to a talk that I give. I would never show up to a Power of Emotional Fitness, whatever, because before I burnt out, I would have never come. So it's already a huge step that you are investing in yourself this way. If you're reading the book, if you're doing the challenge, thank you for making that commitment to yourself. And please remember, you can never fall off the wagon. That's just the last thing I want to say. If you're doing the 5-week challenge, if you only do 1 week, it's great. If you only do one practice, that's great. if you don't do anything for weeks and then you come back to your acceptance or gratitude or self-care, that's great. The most important thing is that you practice and you can always begin again. So thank you all so much. By the way, I saw lots of comments about the hoodie. Yes, the hoodie is now for sale. You just go to nataliekogan.com and you can click on art and you can go to my art store from there. We're going to incorporate it, make it easier. But yeah, the hoodies are now for sale. I love that you guys get so excited. I was walking yesterday around Work Human. All these people were coming up to me. They're like, oh my God, I love your hoodie. Where'd you get it? Oh my God. Like, you guys can imagine my heart was like exploding to tell them I actually painted it. This hoodie is my art. And I'm having Mia, my daughter, research. I'm going to make little cards with QR codes on them and the hoodie. So when people see me and ask, I can just give them a hoodie, a little card so they can get theirs. Emily is asking. So yeah, I do. Emily, thank you, by the way, for sharing the chat. So I have some journals with my art and some other art hoodies that Karen got one, some of my other paintings on my hoodies. And there's going to be some more products coming back in, like pillows and canvas prints. I'm going to do a happier email about it, especially in time for graduation. Yeah, for sure. The hoodies, thank you, Marina. They do run true to size. This is like QVC. This is a small, and it's, you know, it's like they run true to size, kind of baggy. But yeah, they're really soft. And this has been, guys, I've washed this like, I don't know, like 30 times, and it keeps the color, which is something I love. Oh, I love Karen that you're here. Yeah, Karen's husband got her one of the hoodies with my art on them, and she posted a picture in our Facebook group, which, by the way, last thing, if you're still here, join our Awesome Human Project Facebook group. You can share there about the challenge, ask me questions, all kinds of goodness. Thank you all for being. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for making a commitment to yourself and to our bigger full ourselves to make yourself and your emotional fitness a priority. You've just made the commitment. That is one of the most important commitments that you can make. And I'm so honored that I could be here and encourage you and give you tools to make it real. I'll see all of you next week, hopefully an Awesome Human Hour. I'll see you as part of my challenge emails. Thank you for being part of this amazing community. Thank you for investing in yourself. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. Bye, everyone. All right, awesome humans. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Awesome Human Podcast. And I would love to know what resonated. What questions do you have? What are you excited to practice? So send us an email to team@happier.com. And please rest assured, if you send an email that you'd love for me to read, I will always get it in my inbox. My team will send it to me. Let's stay in touch so you can keep practicing skills to help you struggle less and thrive more in work and life. The best way to do it is to go to happier.com and subscribe to my weekly newsletter. I promise you, I would never send you spam. It's just more practices, skills, and stories to help you embrace your inner awesome human. I can't wait to see you next week.